two differences between a gentleman by the name of Gaius and a gentleman by the name of Diotrephes. We get a chance to see the joy and the danger in the book. We also get a chance to see sound doctrine and error in this book. Last week we talked about the beginning of this first half of this issue. For the first eight verses, we dealt with the joy that John had with Gaius. What do we know about Gaius? Number one, we understand that Gaius was a beloved brother of John. He was a person that was in the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the body of believers. He was someone that loved the brothers. He loved the brothers in a sense of him being able to deal with them, being able to accommodate them, make them feel comfortable, and he was able to help with the overall mindset and goal of ministry. What does that mean? Meaning that he was not necessarily committed to just preaching the gospel, but supporting the gospel, supporting the ministry. How did he do that, you ask? Well, it says that he was actually able to help believers as they were traveling from one place to the next. Okay, Children's Church, you are dismissed. Layla, out. Scarlett, go. So what we see in this is that Gaius is somebody that is for the mission, the Great Commission. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I commanded you. Gaius is a part of that group. He's a part of that mission. He may not be the general running the show, but he is the private that is making sure things happen. Does that make sense? Is that helpful? We see this with John and Gaius. Gaius shares in the joy of the faithfulness of John celebrates in the faithfulness of Gaius' commitment. So let's continue on. We're going to be beginning in verse 9. And I want to read one verse at a time this time so that we can kind of go over it really quick. And honestly, we won't be here very long. Okay? Verse 9, what does it read? It says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. We are seeing now a shift in the text. We are dealing a shift in the letter. We are seeing the, almost like it's a transition from hot to cold. It's a transition from we talked about before. For those of you that have ever gone to Vegas, how many people have gone to Vegas? Oh, wow. Keep those hands up. Let me see. This is beautiful. I don't see hands up that much. Okay. So if you ever go to Vegas and it's 135 degrees outside and you go into a casino, who goes to casinos in Vegas? Wow. Okay. We'll keep those hands up. Because when I say how many of you love the Lord, we got three or four people just go. Okay, thank you. So you understand when it's 159 degrees outside and you go into a casino, it all of a sudden is like 60 degrees in there. It's cold. And then the same thing when you go out. You're outside, you're inside the casino, you're having a good time, you've lost all your money or whatever. And then once you forget how hot it is outside, then you step outside, you're like, oh boy, it hits you like a steel wall. What we're seeing here in this book is we're seeing a transition that takes place. We're going from the coolness of the air condition, now we're about to go into the heat. That's what John is doing here. He is saying that I wrote something to the church that could be useful for ministry. However, Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Oh boy. While John is praising the work of Gaius and the believers that are with him, that are walking in the truth, walking in the faith, now we get a chance to see a change in the momentum. Who is Diotrephes? Great question. Here's the thing. This man is in the church. Who is he apart from this book? We don't know. Does it matter? Not really. You know why? Because guaranteed Diotrephes is all over the church. It is all over. He is all over the church. Diotrephes is a real person. This is not a mythological letter. This is not a letter where we're talking about a person that represents hundreds of people. I'm talking about in the context of what we're doing, reading now, who is Diotrephes. It doesn't matter who he is. We know that he is mentioned by name, and we know what he is doing and not doing. Okay? Are you with me? Okay, so what we see here is that Diotrephes is in the way. He is a person of some type of elevated leadership position. He is described as somebody that loves to be first among them. What does that mean? Oh boy, what does it mean? It simply means that he has elevated himself to be more important. If you want to jump up and you want to talk about somebody that represents the church, it's him. He probably identifies the church as his church. He is somebody that puts himself over other believers. Do you see the picture? Can you identify with it? What about the rest of you? How many of you cannot identify with this? Okay, so for those of you that cannot identify with it, I'm talking about a person that you know in your life, in your world, in your history, that put themselves at an elevated position over other believers in the name of that faith. I am greater than you in the name of Jesus because of my degree. I am greater than you in the name of Jesus because of look at all of what God has blessed me with. I am a greater believer because I don't have problems with the sins that you have problems with. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? Remember that story? What did the Pharisee do? He stood up in the front. Lifted up his hands. Thank you that I'm not like this person, that person, and the other. He put himself over everyone else. That's what Diotrephes is doing here. He is somebody that enjoys, he likes to be the first among them. Should that be our action today? Should that be our focus today? Then why do we do it? You're telling me you don't put your pastor in a position? You haven't done it in the past? I'm not saying now. I'm saying in the past. You see these people at these churches? They love their pastor, don't they? How many of you have had debates in your church with other people in the church of who had the greater pastor? My pastor has a Bentley, oh yeah? Well, my pastor has a plane, oh yeah? Well, my pastor only had one wife, oh yeah? Stop. It wasn't church discipline. There was a reason why Wes was up here this morning. Brother, I need somebody to pray for me. Okay. But it has to be the pastor. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. What Bible verse says that the pastor has extra access to God over your brother in Christ? What I mean by that is I mean that we can all pray for each other. You could pray for yourself. But if there's a circumstances where the pastor can't be there, or the bishop can't be there, or the church elders can't be there, guess what? You still have your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Do you understand? For those of you that didn't, does it make sense now what I was talking about as far as Diotrephes? Okay, that's all it meant. He likes to be put ahead of other people. And then what makes it worse is that he does not accept what we say. What is John saying that they do not accept? What has John said in these letters? All he's elevating is Christ. Y'all remember 1 John? In him is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. John. 2 John, he's talking about the church. So what was John teaching or saying apart from elevation of Christ? So we can see here that Diotrephes does not accept what John is teaching. Well, how do we know exactly what he was teaching? We know because we have two previous books. In fact, if you want to say it, we have three previous books. We have the Gospel of John, we have 1 John, we have 2 John, and Diotrephes does not accept it. Oh boy, we spent a whole year and a half, if y'all remember, on the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is spiritual truth, correct? It is biblical truth, correct? Is salvation through Jesus Christ alone? Yes or no? For those of you that went to the casino, yes or no? Okay, thank you. Okay, so since we understand that that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, who trusts in him, will not perish, will not die a second death, but will have everlasting life, that is the truth, yes? Okay, so since it is the truth, Diotrephes does not accept it. And he is leadership in the church. That's pretty dangerous, wouldn't you say? We see John have the joy in what Gaius is doing, and we're now starting to see the lament in Diotrephes. All in the same letter. All within these 15 verses that we're going to go over. Diotrephes is not doing good things. Verse 10. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly, accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Whew. Diotrephes. Y'all see the parallel between Gaius and Diotrephes? Gaius, I love you. You're doing great things. Diotrephes, not only is it wrong, but I'm going to tell you exactly what he's doing. John wants to come in person to this church to deal with this situation. Why? Because not only does he reject the truth, does he reject it, but now he is starting to make unjust accusations against the church. What are we seeing here? We're seeing church dividing. How many of you are familiar with how sometimes people try to divide the church with gossip? You know, Pastor so-and-so said this, and they do this, so we need to go somewhere else. Dividing the church. Planting into the minds of members of the church that maybe John and Gaius aren't doing the right thing. I see it all the time. Smile at you in church service, but behind your back we are trying to whisper in other people's ears about things. Are y'all with me? Division in the church. Again, you guys, let me remind you. Are y'all with me? Yeah. See, y'all making me, I really want to come down, but I can't come down if y'all are loud. If y'all are quiet and not, you know, then I have to come down. Like last week. What's funny about this here is that we see it all the time. And you think that you're doing a holy work. I had a gentleman tell me, I listen to these people. I listen to this person. I listen to that person. I listen to this person. I listen to that person. Fine. Does it bring you closer to the Lord? Yes, then great. It may not be a person that I listen to. It may not be a person that I want to listen to. But you know what? As long as it brings you closer to the Lord, that's great. But you know, we have some churches that associate with your association. Jesse, who do you like? Well, I absolutely love R.C. Sproul. Oh, no, we don't deal with R.C. Sproul. No. Mm-mm. Wes, who do you deal with? Well, I love John MacArthur. We're not dealing with John MacArthur, no. I'm just hypothetically, okay? I'm not saying these are for real. Okay, please don't go after these guys, okay? What I'm saying is we divide each other through who we associate with. And because we divide each other, then the church becomes divided. The war is not from an outside enemy. The war is inside the church. Because what does the Bible say? We have wolves. So you know the text. So why is it still happening? We have wolves in sheep's clothing. We have men that look the part, act the part, but are not the part at all. We have a whole bunch of fake Rolex watches. Y'all remember that story, right? Do y'all remember this story? What about the rest of you? How many of you don't know this story? I know you know the story. I've said it 100 times. James, you've always sat there. Okay, guess what? I got to tell you the story. Now that James don't know, I got to tell you the story. All right, I'm going to tell you the Rolex story. Overseas, I got me a Rolex, $20. It said Rolex on it. Flip the back, it had Rolex on it. You remember now, right? Okay, yeah, okay. On the back, it says Rolex on it. It's a Rolex watch. I'm like, man, this is nice, $20. Got back on the ship, a week out to sea again, the watch doesn't work no more. That's fine, I'll go to a place in Japan and get a battery changed. You open up the thing, they ain't got no battery for that. Because it's not a Rolex. You open up on the inside, there's nothing about it Rolex on the inside. On the outside it says Rolex. It looks like a Rolex. If I was walking around with it, it looks like I'm wearing a Rolex. But on the inside it was Kmart, 99 cents. Do y'all see the picture? Now, I hung on to the watch a little bit longer, even though it didn't work, just because at that time I was really into trying to look nice and flashy. So I walked around with a broken Rolex until the little hand thing fell off. And then I was like, okay, I can't do anymore. Deceiving. We do that every single day, don't we? We put on clothes that makes it look thinner. We put on things, you know, you put on makeup, your face don't look like that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude, okay? Guys, you put on cologne, you don't smell like that. You know, we do these things. These are things that are fine. But as an example, when it comes down to Scripture, right, when it comes down to the Word of God, we understand that there are people that are in positions because they wore the right Rolex at the right time. Not saying that they have any substance inside. They don't. They don't even believe inside. I would rather have 10 people sit in the back of the church that are in their Bibles every single day, praying every single day, and if you come up to them to talk to them about Scripture, about biblical things, they are able to do it with joy and love and loving one another, than 2 people sitting in the front screaming hallelujah and have no substance inside them at all. My hope in this church is that we grow in the truth of Scripture together. Forget the numbers. Forget the numbers. You grow in Christ. Because when you are growing in Christ, then Christ will be presented to the world from this small group. And instead of jumping up and worrying about the hundreds of thousands of members that we save every single year, it doesn't matter about that. What matters the most is, are people growing in the truth of Scripture, and are you sharing the Word of God with them? The problem is that John feels needs to come to this church because we have a man in position that does not believe, and if anything, now he's making false accusations against the believers. And he does not receive the brethren. What does it mean by that? When people are coming to his church, when people are traveling, looking for what Gaius would offer them, right? Imagine we're going to look at Gaius as being a truck stop, not a truck stop, like a rest stop, right? Where you can get some gas, you can get something to drink when you're on the road, and you get that support. Y'all see the picture? Car driving, me and Jesse are going over to Anywhere USA. We pull over on a rest stop, fill up the gas tank, get some water, get something to eat. We get back on the road. They say, hey, you guys have a good day. All right, man, we'll take care. Boom. That's what Gaius was doing with the believers. Welcoming them in, washing their feet, feeding them, maybe even sharing some biblical truth with them as they went back on to their mission. Imagine going to a gas station, and I could probably relate to this more than some of you can. I can go to a certain, gas station in the remote south. I don't think I would be getting service in certain areas. Right? I don't think I would be. I'd be running. The point I'm making is that what Diotrephes is doing, he's not receiving the brothers. He's not even welcoming them anymore. He's not welcoming them at all. He is, no, stay back. Why? Because he loves to be first among the brothers. He is not receiving them. And so much so that anybody that desires to help the believers, anyone that desires to help each other, he is removing them from the church. You can't be about my way, then you get out. Does that sound familiar to any of you in churches where you are so ready to be rejected because you don't look the part, because you don't act the part, and mostly because you do not follow in their same belief system that they deem that you should? Sandy approved this. And we're going to talk about this in the future. One of the new changes that we're going to make with Grace Bible Church of Oxnard is all you ladies, you must have head coverings and wear dresses. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Every single one of you. You can wear a wig, that counts. Okay? But you must wear dresses and head coverings. The women, all women, must sit on this side of the church. All men on this side of the church, and not the two shall talk. And then the people in the middle are the holy reserve. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yes, we must wear suits and ties. To where you can't raise your hands up, you only can raise them up this high. And if your blood pressure goes up, it's because of the neck. Okay? Now, is there anything biblical about that? No, you can say there's some biblical about head coverings. You can say that. But is there anything biblical about these things? Is it extra biblical? Yes? Okay? But because y'all don't agree with it, then y'all need to leave the church. Churches do that all the time. Churches do it all the time. And what is it doing? It's leading people to not want to be in the church anymore. I'm sorry, I just lost my focus for a minute there because I see my brother here walking around with some tattoos on. You know how blasphemous it is to wear tattoos? I'm joking. Okay, I'm using it as an example. Okay, I know you just came in. It's not right. I don't care if you have tattoos. Who cares? Cool, man. That's awesome. The only reason why I don't get tattoos is because I'm indecisive. I'm going to change my mind tomorrow. I'll get one today, change my mind tomorrow. Then I got to get 10 more. Next, you know, I'm all up in here. And you know. Anyway, the point I'm making is that we do extra biblical matters. And then what we do is we reject people from the church because they don't look like us. They don't sound like us. They look different. I don't care how many tattoos you have or if you don't wear a suit. What suit was Jesus wearing? I'll wait. What suit was he wearing? Was he wearing a suit? They didn't have suits then, right? They didn't have suits back then, like suits like that back then, did they? With ties? They didn't have that back then, did they? Okay, so then why is it now in our time that we have to wear suits? The problem is Diotrephes is now rejecting people from the church. He is removing people from the church. The people that want to do the right thing. Because guess what? He does not believe in the truth of Scripture. Diotrephes is not being loving. He's not saying, hey, brother, welcome to the church. Sister, welcome to the church. What do you need from us? He is saying, wait a minute. That's how we have pastors that have their pulpits up here with thrones that they sit in. They're putting themselves ahead. If I take a Kleenex right now and I take the Kleenex and I wipe my brow with it and throw it and somebody passes out because the Holy Spirit hit them. Stop. No, this is stuff y'all see. Do y'all not see this? Now in the church, do you not see it? I have brothers on Facebook. Oh my gosh, you see a pastor do this, like talking like in a photo. Oh my gosh, what Bible does he have? And then when he find out, all of a sudden the sales of that Bible goes up. Wow. Because what, the Bible that he has is going to give you extra access to God faster than the others? No. When we start putting our people in leadership in an elevated position, when we start putting them in an elevated position, then we start making them a god, and then we're in violation of the law of God, right? Yes? And we start making them a god. How many of you know people, and I'm gonna put this in this raise of hands, how many of you know people, have seen people, or done this yourself, where you have elevated somebody? More people went to Vegas. I don't believe it. I'm sorry, I just don't. I don't believe it. So I'm gonna put, those of you who put your hands up, thank you. The rest of you, you're lying. I know it, okay? I'm just saying, there's no way that you have not put somebody in an elevated position. If we look at the Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, you don't have to turn to it. It says this, so that while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of the faith. We must love one another. We must not allow our pride, as Diotrephes does, we must not allow our pride to get in the way. We must not be arrogant. The problem is that we become prideful and we become arrogant in the church. To where you have somebody that comes to the church, hasn't been to church in a while, say, I don't feel comfortable being here. Because I don't fit the part. I don't look the part. So what do we know about Diotrephes? We know that he wants to be the first among people. We know that he's somebody that completely rejects the truth. We also know that he is somebody that does not receive the brothers. In fact, he rejects people and kicks them out of church. Totally opposite of what Gaius was doing. Verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. John gets a chance to return again to the focus of love. He is warning the believers to not practice this type of evil. Do not be like this type of evil, as Diotrephes is. That's how we know that Diotrephes is not of God at all. He is not somebody that has a relationship with God. He may sit in a position of leadership. He may sit in a position of elevation, but he does not have a relationship with Almighty God. How can he? He does not believe in what John is teaching. And he is rejecting believers. He is not loving. Does that make sense to you? We get to see the lament. and the fact that John said, beloved, my beloved, in other words, my beloved brothers and sisters, do not imitate what is evil. Do not imitate what Diotrephes is doing. Why is he saying that? Because it is very, very much a reality that we can do the same thing. Do y'all hear me? It's a reality. We could do the same thing. I don't know what any of you have been through in your life. I know what I've been through in my life, and I know that God has been merciful to me. But if I find out what some of you have done in your life, is it my place to jump up and say, oh my gosh, you're worse than me. How dare you? No. No. Because what does that do? Number one, it elevates me into a great image, and it elevates you down to nothing. Back to the tax collector and the Pharisee. Who elevated themselves? Who was it? The Pharisee. Who brought themselves down to this? The tax collector. Who was righteous at the end? The tax collector. We must understand our total depravity. We must understand our total depravity. Doing good is of God. Doing with evil, like what Diotrephes is doing, that just shows that you have not seen God, which means you have not experienced God, you have not witnessed God. That's what it means. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, your desire is for everyone to know it too. Verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. John gives a small little turning point again. Now we're talking about another person. Demetrius. Well, who is he? We're talking about Gaius. We're talking about Diotrephes. We're talking about Gaius. Now we're talking about Demetrius. Who is he? Well, we don't know outside of these verses. We do know this. We know that John gives good testimony about him, gives a good report to Gaius about him. Some people believe that Demetrius is the deliverer of this letter. So as you think about it, Demetrius is giving this letter to Gaius and to the church, and John is probably looking at it like, okay, who is this guy? Reading the letter and saying, by the way, or Gaius is reading it and saying, oh, this guy, okay, he has good report. In other words, I'm giving you a good report for another person that is coming to help with the ministry. Does that make sense? Who is he? We don't know. What was his backstory? We don't know. What does his mom do? Who knows? Does it matter? No. What matters the most is that John is identifying by name, saying that this guy gives a good testimony and that he is somebody that can be trusted, which means Diotrephes is not the only one in this church setting that's somebody that can be non-trusted. Somebody that could be dangerous. John gives reassurance to Gaius that Demetrius is okay. Verse 13 and 14. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Verse 15, peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Now, last week I mentioned in this text that there was something very interesting in this text. Okay, so, last week, do y'all remember that? Who remembers when I said something interesting about this text? Okay, the reason why is because I was studying the text and I was dealing with a buddy who was reading the text and studying the text and preaching the text, and I said, I'm going to do 3 John. And he said, oh, awesome. So you're going to be doing all 14 verses in one sermon. I said, that's the game plan, but you're wrong, brother. It's 15 verses. He said, no, it's not. It's 14 verses. I said, no, it's not. Look it up. We pulled up our Bibles, and mine said 15, and his said 14. How many of you have 14 verses? Show of hands. How many of you have 15? Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so it turns out that the NASB 77, the New King James Version, the NIV, and the King James Version has 14 verses. However, the NASB 95, the Legacy Standard Bible, the ESV, the Amplified, and the Revised Standard Bible have 15 verses. But here's the funny thing about the text. How many of you did not get what I just read? Was there anything taken out? So in other words, this is a perfect example. Number one, we know that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, which means it is errorless. It has no mistakes. Okay? Are y'all with me? Are you in agreement with me? When someone wants to jump up and say, well, what about 3 John, 14, 15 verses, guess what? The Bible itself is inerrant, errorless. The verse numbers and chapters are not. They are made by man. Does that make sense? The Bible was not written with book, chapter, or no, it was written with book, but it was not written in verses and chapters. If you open up an original manuscript of the Bible, the early autographs, you don't see numbers. In fact, for those of you that love ESV, there is a ESV Bible that is out. Jamie put it in the cart because I got rid of all mine, so we got to get it in the cart. Okay, I got to have a copy of it. Okay, I have a Bible problem, y'all. I'm not ashamed. Okay, I like to collect Bibles. Anyway, there's the ESV Bible that has it where the chapters are on the top left-hand side, but that's it. It's only the text. No verses. So it's almost like you're reading a novel. It's called the ESV Reader's Bible for those of you that want to know. Okay? But the point I'm making is that in the text of Scripture, All it is, when we think about chapters and verses, think about it as Google Maps. Okay? You have a map, yes? How many of you have ever seen a map before? Awesome! Great! Okay, so you've seen a map before. All the chapters and verses do is it points you to the direct address of a location. It doesn't. If you look at a map and you don't see 222 or they say this address, you know, 936, you don't see it, but you see the map. That's what it is. The verses, how they were put in there, they were put in there by a man. Is it a violation of Scripture? No. If you notice, all of your Bibles end with peace, verse 15, whether it's a part of 14 or it's its own verse, it says, peace be to you, the friends greet you, greet the friends by name. Can everyone agree with that? Is there any Bible that you have that's missing that? Okay, so it doesn't matter about the number. The chapter and numbers are just simply a guide. It is not the Scriptures. It is not, that is not inspired word of God. Do you hear me? Okay, I just want to make sure we clear that up. Make sure we clear that up real quick before you come, people come and say, well, see, the Bible isn't perfect because the verses are wrong. Well, the verses were created by man. So what do we see in this last text, this last part of the Scripture here? John has more to share with the believers, but he does not want to do it with pen and ink. For those of you that are familiar with this technology nowadays, we were now at text messages? Before it was text messages, it was just like the cell phones. Now you'd rather text somebody to talk to them on a cell phone, yes? Some of you know. Okay, fine. What I'm saying is that for the most part, people that are in the technology now, I'd rather text you than to talk to you on the phone. Once upon a time, there used to be things, for those of you that don't know, Shira, I'm sorry, I have to use you. There was a thing called payphones. And they used to be almost every corner. And you go in there. How many of you know about payphones? Okay. Oh, you do? Oh, you do? Okay, you ain't new to the game. But I just remember there was payphones. You didn't have cell phones, you had payphones. You didn't have voicemail, you had answer machines. Okay, beep, you have blank so many messages, right? Okay? What I'm saying is that there's a difference between me getting together with Shira and talking to her face-to-face than talking to her over the phone or even a text message. There's something I need to tell you, Shira. Well, really, what do you got to tell me? Tell me, I can't tell you right now. I'll tell you when I see you in person. How many of you have ever done that? I'd rather tell you, whether it's serious or not, I'd rather tell you in person. I'd rather talk to you about it in person. That's what John is doing here. He wants to keep the communication going, but he doesn't want to write it down with pen and ink. He wants to talk to him about it in person because this is a serious matter which was going on with false teaching with someone like a Diotrephes. This is a serious matter. So he's saying, my hope, my game plan is to come and to talk to you face to face. And what he does is he finishes the letter with a personal love expression of friendship. So yeah, I love you. This is the thing I'm worried about. This is serious, but I love you. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Understand this, my friends. We are all friends. We are all family as believers. We all have the obligation, number one, to strengthen each other. Strengthen each other, whether it comes off negative or positive. We have too many sensitive people now. If I jump up and say something to you and it sounds constructive, you get offended. Know the heart. I love you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just asking a question or I'm just talking to you. But be able to receive that in love from your brothers and from your sisters. We must support each other. Brother, I need help. Sister, I need help. Well, I can't help you, but let me try to help you find somebody that can help you. Love. Love one another. More importantly, we must protect one another. Well, what does that mean? That means protect one another, not just from the physical aspects of things, but from the spiritual aspects of things. Protect one another. False teaching, protect one another. Watered down theology. What does watered down theology mean? It means that you're watering down the theology of God, the study of God, the truth of God, to meet people's particular agendas. Pastor Luan, do people go to hell? Well, you know, I don't like to use that word and that language. I just let God be the judge of that. Is that sound doctrine? Or is that watered down? In some cases, you could say false. Pastor Luan, do people go to hell? Let me tell you something. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you will go to hell. Is that sound doctrine? Is that rough? Is it a shot of espresso? Is it truth? Pastor Luan, is Jesus the only way or is there multiple ways to get to heaven? Because that's what Oprah said. Well, shoot, if Oprah said it. No. We have to tell the truth of Scripture. Remind you, the biggest person that was against Jesus and his earthly ministry were the religious folk. Yes? They did not like what he had to say, did they? Several times they wanted to stone him for what he was saying, did they? How many times have y'all seen a mega pastor get attacked for what he said? Oops. But y'all love listening to him every Sunday morning, don't you? This is my Bible. It is what it says I is. It says what it says I says. Is that, how many of y'all know that? Somebody, thank you. A couple people actually know this. Y'all know the person too, don't you? Do y'all know the person who says it? Oh, you don't. Okay, I'll just say this. His last name ends with something that rhymes with bean. Okay? So here's the thing. Here's my Bible. It is what it is. It says what I said. Is there anything wrong with what he's saying? No. But you have to read the Bible. You must read the text. When's the last time he was attacked for his doctrine? No, his doctrine is, I'm going to let God be the decision. I'm not here to do that. My job is to tell you what I love, what we should love each other. And we should. But we must love each other like the analogy I use with the children. You are not going to allow your one-year-old to touch an outlet with his wet hands. You will smack his hand and say no. And he may cry. They may have a fit, but you're saving his life. Yes? How much more should we do when it comes down to us representing the Word of God? Because guess what? We have babes in here that are people, babes in here. We have people in here that are babes in Christ, that are new believers. And we must be careful on what we share. We must share it with baby food until they're ready to start taking down meat of the truth of Scripture. Because every believer that is in Christ wants to be fed the Word of God. You first receive it as milk, and then you get it up to meat. And then when you get up to meat, you get strong enough to be able to teach someone else. Does that make sense? We must protect each other. We must protect each other. Doesn't mean that you jump up and beat the person up, but you must protect each other. We talk about in Galatians that Paul rebuked Peter to his face for what he was doing. Protect each other. Paul was protecting the brethren. Doesn't mean that Peter was a false teacher. He messed up. But we must protect each other as believers. Well, what can I do? How can I apply this to my life, Luan? Well, here's the thing. Number one, pray. The Lord is going to provide. Ask Him, Lord, how can I bring glory to Your kingdom from where I'm at right now? Forget the fact that I'm a newer believer and I don't really know much about this stuff. I'm not ready. Stop. Stop. Take it from me, you'll never be ready. You will never be ready. Once you taste and realize how horrible of a sinful person you are, you're not going to feel ready to stand up before God's people and speak His word. This is the hardest thing to do, is to stand before y'all every Sunday. It's the hardest thing in the world. It's the hardest thing in the world to sit on Wednesday. It's tough. Y'all have no idea. You can ask Jamie in the back how tough it is, how I feel like I want to break down most of the time. I cannot handle it. It is the Lord only. So no disrespect to y'all, but I have to cancel y'all out and listen to a sermon. I'm preaching to one person. It's not easy. It's tough. So wherever you're at, whether you feel like you're a babe in Christ and you're still on milk, or you feel like you can get up to some baby food, or you can get up to soft foods, you can get up to hard foods and T-bone steaks, okay? Wherever you're at, ask God, Lord, how can I help bring Your glory? How can I know You better? I can tell you what one of those answers is going to be. You want to know what it is? It's one. As I said before, we all support each other here. You got questions about the Bible, call someone. Ask a question. I'm reading this text and it doesn't make sense to me. Can you help me? But read the Bible. Focus on that. Focus on praying and asking, Lord, please help me. If we do that, then we're going to build up a strong If you have a child that was born during the pandemic, I want y'all to picture this child born in a pandemic, and they were inside the house their entire life. Now they're 5 years old. Okay? They spent the whole time basically inside the house. They've never really gone out. Right? Can you see the kid? Okay? They're probably socially awkward. They haven't been around other kids. What happens when they go outside? What happens when they go outside physically? Chances are they are going to get sick. Why are they going to get sick? Their body hasn't built up an immune system to deal with different diseases and bacteria and things like that. Would you understand that? Okay, am I wrong? Okay, we got medical Phil Marietta. I'm pretty accurate. Am I okay? Okay. So we understand that for our kids are people, when you go out, you're hanging around other people and you're catching their bacteria, their stuff, and it's helping you build an immune system so you can be stronger. Does that make sense? It's funny, when I was working in the medical field when I was in the Navy, I never got sick. I don't remember ever getting a cold when I was in the military. I was around a whole bunch of sick people. There was a beautiful point to that story. As we grow in Scripture, and we experience life, Scripture, heartache. Scripture, good times. Scripture, more heartache. Scripture, more good times. Scripture, bad times. Scripture, more bad times. Scripture, the worst of times. What it does is it builds up our immune system. It draws us closer to Christ so that it builds up character. It builds up our discipline. And it makes us ready for what we're going to study next week. Build up. Build up, build up, build up, so that we're ready. So that when the horrors come, we can make a beautiful statement. Naked I came into the world, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. If any of you know that verse, that's exactly where we're going to go next week.